So nice to see you boys and girls come to the Sunday school. And I see a number sitting on the front row. We don't even have to ask you to come to the front. That's good. Would there be anybody else sitting toward the back that would like to come to the front? You know, I'm really happy. But I think I might be even happier if there were more people sitting on the front row. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Well, perhaps while we sing, somebody else will come to the front. So we're going to sing some songs. And here's a girl, already has her hand up. What number?
Wide, wide is the ocean.
Wide, wide is the ocean. Well, I don't believe that's on our hymn sheet, but we sang it last night, and I don't get tired of singing that song. And I noticed that most everybody knew it, so that's good. You know, maybe we should stand up and so as not to harm our neighbor, we could turn sideways. Why? A good start. Anybody else have a number? How about a boy? Yes. Number 30. And by the way, if you know a song that's not on the hymn sheet, feel free to tell us what it is, and if we know it, perhaps we can sing it even though it's not on the hymn sheet. All right, let's do number 30. Now let's sing the first and last verses, okay, of the songs on the hymn sheet. That way we'll have time to sing more songs. Number 30.
Weeping will not save me, though my face were bathed in tears, and could not allay my fears, could not wash the sins of years. Weeping will not save me.
Oh.
this is good singing. Now, yes, Ellie? Number five, all right? Number five. So we're going to sing the first verse and the last verse. Number five. Oh, happy day
that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
As we sang that song, and I saw some who seemed very happy, and they so much enjoyed singing the song. But I saw some others that didn't seem very happy, and I wonder why that is. Could it be that you still are in your sins? Is it that you have a weight of sin upon you? I don't know exactly why it is that maybe you're not happy, but I know one thing. Jesus wants to make you happy. And we sing a song like that, don't we? Jesus loves me when I'm sad, and he waits to make me glad. So he wants us to be happy, and he wants us to be praising him. And this is good singing. It really is. Anybody else have a number? I think it's a boy's turn, yes? 44. All right, number 44. This perhaps will be the last song off the hymn sheet. Number 44, the first and last verse. Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, salvation story repeat o'er and o'er, till none can say of the children of men. there's a verse that's not printed on this hymn sheet, and it tells about how the little gypsy boy looked even while he was dying. Does anybody know how he looked? We sing it in a verse. It's not on this hymn sheet. Happy. It says he was smiling as his last sigh was spent. How can somebody be smiling when they're dying? Many people don't understand how that could be, but you know. That's right. He was on his way to heaven. He was going to be with Jesus. And he knows Jesus is his best friend, and Jesus died for him, and he's going to spend forever in God's happy home with the Lord Jesus. Well, I hope everybody here today has the assurance of going to be with the Lord Jesus when you die. Now, there's another song I'm thinking about. It goes like this. Come and go with me to my Father's house. How many know this song? I see some hands. Very good. I see a few hands. Okay. We need all the help we can get, because I didn't see too many hands. But it's a song that's easy to learn. So let's give it a try. And it starts with the word come.
Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where is joy, joy, joy. Jesus is the way.
Now, boys and girls, let's set these hymn sheets aside, and we're going to take time to pray. It's very important to look to the Lord for his help and direction, especially when we're talking with children. And somebody said one time, we need to talk to the Lord about the children before we talk to the children about the Lord. And I think that's a very good way to do it. It's a good sequence. So let's pray. Now today, I brought something. I brought more than one thing. But I bought a pair of these. Now, does anybody know what these are? Yes. These are a pair of ears. And I'm wondering, does anybody here today need ears? I see you boys got ears. Okay, you don't need ears. You got ears. You got ears, Ellie? Your hair's covering your, but you still got them. Okay. You got ears, too. That's good. Everybody over here have ears? That's good. Nobody needs these, do they? Because you already got a pair of ears. Well, you know, I got a pair of ears, too. And I put these up like this. And I didn't really like the way it looked. So, I'm not going to be wearing these ears. But I'd like to start this Sunday school by saying this. Seven times in the Bible, in the Gospels, and I notice many brought their Bibles here today, so that's good. Because without the Bible, we wouldn't have a Sunday school. And you know, the Bible is the Word of God. God speaks to us through this book. Now the question is, are you listening to what God has to say? And four times over in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Lord Jesus says this, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Seven times. And so I'm going to be finding out if those who have ears today are hearing, are listening. Now, you know, I turned over the book of Revelation, and in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, I see again seven times it says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." You know, boys and girls, when we get saved, and we get saved, I believe, by hearing the Word of God. Because faith, it tells us, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we get saved to become part of the church. And I believe God speaks to us one at a time, but he also speaks to us in a group as the church or the body of Christ. We've been talking about that in this conference, and it's been a wonderful portion. But here's the point. You got ears? Are you listening? Now, who can tell me how many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, did the Lord Jesus say, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear"? How many times? Seven. Very good. You're using your ears. That's good. How many times in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 do we read, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear"? How many times? Seven. Very good. So we've got some listening ears today. That's very good. You see, God gives us ears to hear his word. And people listen to many different things. I sat beside a man on the airplane, and he had earphones in his ears. And he had those in his ears for the whole entire trip. And I thought it might be nice to say something to him. You know, try to be friendly. But he had these earphones in. And it was difficult. And, you know, people today, they are listening, but they're often not listening to what God wants them to hear. And it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. God speaking to us through this book that is so important to hear. Well, that man, he did take the earphones out, and I had an opportunity to give him a gospel tract, and he accepted. So, maybe he'll get saved. Maybe he'll listen to what God is saying through the Bible. Now, this morning, I was thinking about something else that starts with an E. And this is the other item I brought. I came across this bottle. Does anybody tell me what starts with an E on this bottle here? Can you see something that starts with an E? Just put up your hand if you think you can tell me what it is. Savannah?
Excuses.
Who?
Excuses.
That's what I was thinking about this morning. Excuses. What is an excuse? You know, I can't even see that clock because the light seems to be reflecting off the clock, but I guess we got this one here. Anyway, we still got some time. What do you think, Isaac?
A reason not to do something.
Exactly. It's a reason not to do something. Or maybe it might be a reason to do something. And sometimes these reasons are good reasons to do or not to do something. But oftentimes an excuse is not a good reason to do or not to do something. Now, last night I was talking to a brother, and he said, you know, I won't be able to come to the Sunday school tomorrow because I'm going to pick up a lady. She really wants to come to these meetings, and she can't come on her own, so I'm going to go and pick her up. You think that was a good reason not to come to Sunday school? You think so? I think so. I think that was a good excuse. But you know, there are so many people that don't have a good excuse for not coming to Sunday school. Maybe they say, well, I'm just too tired. And I can't make it to Sunday school. But you know what? If somebody would go to bed a little bit earlier, they could get up a little earlier and they could come to Sunday school. There's so many excuses. Sometimes somebody says, well, I wouldn't want to go to Sunday school because my friends would laugh at me. You think that's a good excuse? No, I don't think so either. What kind of friends are those that don't want you to hear about Jesus? The best friend you could ever have. The one who can save your soul, as we sing in a little song. He can cleanse your heart, he can make you whole, and he can make you happy for time and for eternity. So we don't want to listen to friends like that. But often our friends do discourage us from coming to Sunday school or perhaps to the meetings. But we need to realize that God has in mind what he wants you to do, and he always will give you the ability to do it. Now, I'm thinking of another excuse. Now, where am I going to put this? No excuses. Recently, we were on an island off the coast of Maine. And we were looking for the lighthouse, but we could not find the lighthouse. You might say we lost our way. We came upon two hikers. I believe it was a man and his wife. And you know, they were up ahead of us, walking, and they had these huge backpacks. I mean, the top of the backpack was up here, and the bottom was way down here. And they were walking. And my wife and I, we just had little backpacks. They stopped. They took off their backpacks. And while they were stopped, I take it they were taking a rest or they're going to adjust their backpack. We were able to catch up with them. And of course, we asked, "Do you know how to get to the lighthouse?" And so the man, he pulled out a map. He was well prepared to tell us where to go. He had the map, showed the lighthouse, and he told us how he thought we should go to get to the lighthouse. So that was very kind, and we really appreciated that. And then it came time to go our separate ways. And you know, I had in my pocket one of these. Anybody tell me what this is? Yes. It's a gospel tract. So, I said, "Sir, you have given us a good steer. And I would like to leave you one as well. This is a message of God's love. It explains the way of salvation." And he said, "No, thank you." And then his wife said something that I could hardly believe that she said this. And I'm still thinking about it. She said, "We don't want to carry any extra weight." Extra weight. Oh, this is so heavy. Can you tell? Is this heavy? No. You don't think it's heavy? You try. Is this heavy? What do you think? See how heavy that is. Is that heavy? No, I don't think so. But I'm sorry to say, this man, he politely refused the tract, and I believe perhaps his wife was trying to be polite, but she seemed very serious. "We don't want to carry any extra weight." Well, you know, I thought about that. We got a big problem here. This little gospel tract, I believe, has in it the Word of God. And it explains how we can be saved and we can be satisfied. It explains how we can be happy. It explains how we can get rid of the weight of our sins. And you know, I believe that that is a weight that those people, they did not feel. I would like to read a little verse here found in Psalm 38. Now, if you got a Bible, you can look this up. Psalm 38. And it's true, these people, they had heavy backpacks, and I felt sorry for them. They had those backpacks full of food, and they had camping gear, and they were going to spend 3 days, 3 nights at a campsite. And so they were all prepared to take care of their physical needs over the next few days, but they had a spiritual need. Don't think they realized. Notice what it tells us. Psalm 38. It's a psalm of David. And David says in verse 4, Psalm 38, verse 4, "Mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Well, what are we going to say? Those people, they had a backpack that went over their head. And that was a heavy weight. But I believe they had something that went far further over their head, and that is their sins. And you and I also have sins. And David, he recognized the fact that sin separated from God. And I believe nobody can be happy separated from God. And God wants to remove that separation. Now, how is it? You know, we sing a song. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And as I looked, I saw some with happy faces and just enjoying the fact that no doubt their sins, which once separated them from God, forever gone. And you know, David could say, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And you know, if that doesn't make a person happy, I don't know what can. To be washed whiter than snow in the precious blood of Jesus, and to be holy and without blame like we had yesterday before God, is such a wonderful experience, if I could put it that way. It's so wonderful. Well, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You know, we read about more excuses in the Bible. I wonder, has anybody here missed school recently? Like, you didn't go to school on a certain day? You missed some school, Thomas? You did. Did you have a good excuse? You asked your mom if you could stay home? And she said yes. Okay. Maybe I should ask your mom while she said that. I think your mom knows what she's doing. You know, I read one time about some boys, and they didn't miss the day of school, but they came late to the school. Like, they got there about 10 in the morning, and they were supposed to be there about 8:15 or so. And you know what they said? They said, well, we had a flat tire on the way to school, and so that's why we're late. Well, you know, those boys, they had a teacher that was pretty smart. Because right away she said, okay, boys, I want you to sit down. She had one sitting over here at this desk, one here, and another one over here. She said, you got 30 seconds to put down on the paper which tire on the vehicle went flat. You know, the results of that test were quite revealing. The results of that test show those boys are lying. Because what they had really been doing was fishing. Yeah, they've been fishing. So that was not a good excuse, was it? We had a flat tire. But you know, so many have excuses that are bad excuses. And let's just look over here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Here's somebody that has some bad excuses. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 16, it tells us about a certain man, and I believe this certain man represents God himself. And this man, he made a great supper, and he bade many. He was a very kind man. And he had great riches, no doubt, great resources, and so he could put on a very nice meal, and he invited lots of people to come. Well, you know, God, in his grace, has provided for you and for me salvation. And not only salvation, but satisfaction. And you know, God offers freely these wonderful things. And so here it tells us that the invitation went out. The servant said to those that were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." And verse 18, it tells us that they began to make excuse. The first one said, "I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it." Is that a good excuse not to come and enjoy this wonderful meal? Is that a good excuse? Of course not. I heard one time about a man, he bought some property down in Florida. And he never went to see it. But anyway, he bought it. And he took a trip down to see what he had bought. He found out he bought a swamp. You don't buy something before you see it. It's not a good plan. But that's what this person said. Then another said, "Well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them." We heard about oxen yesterday, didn't we? How they go into a yoke, 2 oxen at a time, and they pull. And farmers plow their fields. They do work with the oxen. This man, he had bought 5 yoke of oxen, and now he was going to go and see if they were good oxen. It's almost like somebody pulling into a tractor dealer, maybe a farmer, maybe somebody has a big garden, they want a tractor. So they pull into the place where they sell tractors, and, "Sir, you got tractors for sale here?" "Yeah." "Well, you got green ones or red ones?" "Or we got both. I'll take a green one." Now, these are all used tractors, okay? They've already been used. And so right away, the man, he says, "Okay, I'll take the green one. Maybe it's a John Deere." And he pays for the tractor. Maybe it's $10,000. And he says, "Now, I'll come back tomorrow and find out if I bought a good tractor or not." Now, you think that's a good thing to do? Of course not. You need to test drive something before you buy it. But this man, he didn't do that with these oxen. And it was a flimsy excuse. And then finally, another said, "Well, I married a wife, and therefore I can't come." Well, that's sad. That's very sad. You know, I look around this hall here today, and I see husbands and wives, and that's so beautiful. You know, this man, he could have brought his wife and sat down, enjoyed a wonderful meal. But I think what we're learning from this portion is that people, they want to find their own pleasure and satisfaction apart from God and what he has to offer. Very sad. I hope nobody's like that here today. But as we read on, we see that the master, he was angry. He wanted his house to be filled, his table full. He said, go and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. The servant says, Lord, it's done as you commanded. There's still room. The Lord said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. God wants a full house. You know what God finds delight in doing? Showing kindness to those who don't deserve it. And I'm sorry to say, these first people made excuse.